Okay, let's dive straight in. Today we're doing a deep dive focused squarely on the engine room of AWS Compute, Amazon EC2. We're talking virtual servers here, and honestly, if you want to get smart about cloud costs, really nailing the EC2 pricing models is, well, it's fundamental.
Absolutely. Think of it like this. EC2 pricing isn't just one thing, it's a whole spectrum of options. And our goal today is pretty focused. Help you master the four main models. Because for you listening, understanding these is the fastest route to optimizing those cloud bills. It often boils down to a basic choice, really. Are you willing to commit upfront for savings, or do you need flexibility, even if it costs a bit more? Or maybe, can you handle potential interruptions for massive discounts?
That's a great way to frame it. So the plan is we'll define the concept, the how it works for each model, and then right after we'll jump into the best use case, where does it fit strategically? The idea is to help you map your actual workloads to the right pricing.
Perfect. Let's start with the foundation then. On-demand instances. The concept here is super simple. It's all about flexibility. You pay for compute capacity by the hour, or actually, it's often per second now. And the key, absolutely zero upfront commitment. You start an instance, you use it, you stop it, you only pay for what you consumed.
Right, pay as you go. And that flexibility is precisely why it's great for certain things. It stops you paying for servers sitting idle. So, best use. Think short-term needs, irregular workloads, things that absolutely cannot be interrupted while they are running. Development and testing environments are the classic example, aren't they? Spin them up, run your tests, tear them down, no long-term ties.
Exactly. On-demand is for when things are unpredictable or short-lived. But what if you do have predictable needs? What if you know you'll need compute power consistently for, say, a year or even 3 years?
Ah, that's where the next model comes in, right? Reserved instances or RIs and the newer, more flexible savings plans.
Precisely. With these, you make that time commitment 1 or 3 years, and in return, AWS gives you a really significant discount.
We're talking potentially up to 72% off those on-demand rates.
72%. That's a massive reduction. And you mentioned savings plans being more flexible. How so?
Yeah, savings plans are sort of the evolution here. Instead of reserving a specific instance type in a specific zone, you commit to a certain amount of compute usage per hour measured in dollars. And the really useful part is that this commitment automatically applies across different instance families, different AWS regions, even different operating systems like Windows or Linux. Much more adaptable.
Okay, so that simplifies things. You don't have to predict exactly which instance type you'll need 3 years from now.
Right. So the best use case is clear. Workloads with predictable, steady-state usage, things that need to run continuously. Production applications, databases that are always on. That's where you really maximize your savings with RIs or savings plans. Got it. Predictability equals savings through commitment. Okay, now let's shift gears completely. Spot instances. This one always sounds intriguing. High risk, high reward.
That's a good way to put it. The concept behind Spot is pretty clever. You're essentially bidding on AWS's spare, unused EC2 capacity. Think of all the servers sitting idle at any given moment. AWS wants to monetize that idle capacity, so they let you bid for it. And because it's spare capacity, the price can drop, I mean, really drop, sometimes up to 90% off the on-demand price.
Whoa, 90%. Okay, hold on. If you can save 90%, why doesn't everyone just use Spot for everything? There has to be a catch.
Oh, there's a big one. It's absolutely critical to understand this. Because you're using spare capacity, AWS can take it back whenever they need it for customers paying on-demand or reserve prices. And they only have to give you a 2-minute warning before they terminate your instance.
2 minutes. Okay, that's abrupt.
It is. So the best use case is very specific. Spot is fantastic for workloads that are genuinely fault-tolerant. They need to be flexible, preferably stateless. Think large-scale batch processing jobs. Big data analytics, maybe some background processing tasks, containerized applications designed for failure, things that can be interrupted and then pick up again later, maybe on a different Spot instance, without causing a disaster.
So definitely not for your main production database or anything customer-facing that needs to be always available.
Absolutely not,
Okay.
unless you've architected it very carefully to handle sudden instance loss.
All right. That makes sense. Risk versus reward. Now that leaves one more model, dedicated hosts. This sounds different from the others.
It is quite different. The concept is simple. You're renting an entire physical server dedicated solely to your AWS account. Nobody else shares that hardware.
An entire physical machine, just for me, that sounds expensive. Why would you need that compared to just spinning up virtual instances?
You're right. It generally is more expensive. The best use here isn't primarily about cost savings. It's usually driven by compliance or licensing requirements. specifically some older software licenses, particularly in the bring-your-own-license or BOL scenario, are tied to physical hardware, like specific sockets or cores.
Ah, so if your software vendor says, this license key only works if it's on this physical box, you need a dedicated host to prove that to them for compliance.
Exactly that. Or sometimes for specific regulatory standards that mandate physical isolation. It's a niche requirement, but when you need it, you need it. It fulfills that compliance need, not really a budget optimization strategy in itself.
Okay, that paints a clear picture across all four. So wrapping this up, if we look back at the whole landscape, the main takeaway for cost optimization seems to be really understanding your workload first, right? How much interruption can it tolerate? Is its usage steady and predictable, or bursty and irregular?
That's precisely it. Those two factors, interruption tolerance and usage pattern, will almost always point you to the most cost-effective EC2 pricing model. And maybe one final thought to leave you with, something to consider for your own applications. Imagine a company has an existing application, maybe a legacy one. And to run it in the cloud, they absolutely must use a physical server that's dedicated only to their account. This isn't for performance. It's strictly to comply with a third-party software vendor's licensing terms. Based on what we've discussed, which pricing model is the only one that fits that specific rigid requirement?
Based on that strict physical server and licensing need, it sounds like dedicated hosts would be the only answer there.
Exactly. That highlights how sometimes compliance, not cost, dictates the choice. And knowing that is key.